Welcome to the Single Well Podcast. My name is Dr. Mila, and I am a family doctor turned wellness transformation coach. I created the Single Well for Christian single women and moms who want to learn how to simply incorporate wellness practices into their daily lives. After having a baby, getting divorced, and years of struggling with weight gain and declining health, I went searching for a natural weight loss solution. But instead, I discovered that true health was found in leveraging my spiritual, physical, mental, emotional, and relational wellness. Listen in to gain the tools and mindset to start developing your own unique wellness strategy. Let's do this! Please note, the information shared on the Single Well Podcast is meant for informational purposes only and is not meant to replace the advice of your personal physician or healthcare practitioner. Please consult your personal medical professional before embarking on or implementing anything discussed on the podcast. Hey there, this is the final episode in the Wellness Legacy series, and this one is called Errors Are Exemplary. And when I came up with this title, it was so funny because I'm like, yeah, this sounds really like strange, right? But when I got to thinking about it, there was just a lot that came out of that because I thought about how our mistakes and our errors, we tend to want to shove them under something and not have people know about them and want to hide them. But they really are examples, and they teach us so much when we make an error. And it's so powerful when I hear people tell the stories of the errors that they've made and how big of a transformation that provides for others. And so with co-parenting, single parenting, really any parenting or any type of leadership role, you really have to tell others where you messed up. Being able to do that and being okay with it, because they learn so much from that. I've always been that person, kind of risk averse in a way, less so lately, but I've always been that child that would see people make mistakes or see people do things that weren't so great, and I would learn from that. And it might be something minor, it might be something major, but I always learn from that. But then I know people who say they have to learn by doing it themselves. Like if I go through it myself and I make an error, then I learn from that. And I think it's just a difference in learning styles. You know, it was something that used to bug me, like, oh, why do people do that? Like, why would you want to learn the lesson yourself? But for some people, that's the only way it sticks. And I think of it like when I learned to see patients, learned how to get a patient's history and how to get people's stories, you know, so that I could collect it for the medical record and kind of understand what they were going through so that I could figure out what they had and treat them. I learned that, you know, seeing the patients for me was helpful, you know, and it sounds obvious, but for me, the conditions that I remember, the things that I know well, are from seeing patient after patient after patient with that thing, you know, with that problem. And so in a way, I was learning from their errors or their not so great moments, you know. But in another sense, I had to learn from their example. I had to learn how to be a better doctor by the example that was given to me. And so errors truly are exemplary. And so I think that, you know, I think also about my name. My real name is Camila. I've heard, you know, it's said very many different kind of ways. It's spelled in a way that throws people off a little bit, but it means the perfect one. And, you know, I always wonder if that ever put an extra pressure on me, because I am a perfectionist, but I am far from perfect. So it makes me wonder. Sometimes they say the name you give your child really tends to reflect in their lives in some way. So it's kind of funny. Like, you know, you say, well, yes, I'm perfect, but no, I'm absolutely not perfect. But I do strive to be perfect sometimes, and I have to catch myself doing that. But I also am willing to share, you know, my shortcomings. I've often had conversations with people when the conversation is right, you're talking to someone about something and I'll share a personal story about the time I messed up or the time I did something that wasn't so great or the time I didn't have a good outcome of something. And a lot of times people are shocked by that. Like, oh, you know, you're willing to share that? Wow. You know, and it's like, because I see the importance of people learning from what we go through. Also, I'm introverted. I'm not really shy. That really was never my ministry. And when I think back on it, it's very true. Like, there's times where I just want to sit back and listen and be observant. And that's my base. That's where I live. But typically I'm willing to speak up on things if I feel it's important. You know, if it's something that's minor, sometimes people say, oh, you just always speak up. You know, if it's something minor that's not affecting, you know, anything, you know, I just let it go. But, you know, I know when to pull that trigger, you know, so to speak. So it's like, I don't mind talking about things. So when I have people in front of me that want to hear stories, that want to know what I've been through, I'm willing to share that. I'm willing to give that type of information because, you know, it can be so helpful to people to really understand you, understand what you've gone through. I recently did a room on Clubhouse about talking to your doctor, you know, and this was something that I was nervous about doing because we tend to be and are taught to be closed off and kind of keeping everything close to the vest in the medical field. But I think it's important that everyone understands what we're going through and what's happening in medicine and some of the just the day-to-day things that we have to do that we're responsible for. It really helps people understand why we might respond the way we do for certain things, why we have to do some things, why we feel obligated to do other things. So, but it also can, with me being on both sides of that, I'm able to help people understand how to better communicate with their doctor and so forth. And while also, you know, wanting to be the physician that's the example for how we better communicate with our patients. So there's just all of these ways that we can use these different errors and mistakes and missteps to improve the world. And I find value in that, you know, reflecting on mishaps, reflecting on those errors I've made, those things where I was misled or didn't understand something in a way that I could have. And in life, in medicine, in everything, you know, there's just always those things where you go back and like, ah, could have handled that one a little better, or that could have been better if we had done it this way, or if we had thought about it that way. So being able to do that, and that got me thinking about reflecting versus dwelling. There's a lot of talk about going in the past and how problematic that can be. And, you know, talk about Lot's wife turning into a pillar of salt because she looked back. So a lot of times that's used in Christian circles to indicate like, see, you should never look back. You should never go back to the past. You should never long for what you had before. And I kind of have a different feeling about that. I think that it can be a good thing. I think that looking back on those things we had, those people we had, when people pass on, you know, you want to be able to reflect on the time you've had with them. And I use the word reflect very intentionally, and I'll explain that in a moment. But you want to be able to reflect on what, you know, value and what they added to your life and what they meant to you. You want to be able to go back for that. Similarly, when we make mistakes, we want to be able to reflect on those and be able to remind ourselves of why we did what we did at the time and why we're going to do it differently the next time. And so that reflection is important. And to me, reflection is thinking back to retrieve the lesson. Thinking back to retrieve what you got out of that situation, good or bad. You know, reflecting is always good. We want to be able to reflect in nature. You know, we're able, you have a reflection in a pond. If you look in a pond, you know, you see your reflection. You know, you're able to see yourself. And it's really, really interesting to me that we can always reflect and kind of see, because we're not that person. That next moment, we're a different person. We're constantly changing and evolving. So in a moment, you can look back at what you were in that moment, but you can, you know, of course you can't get that back after you walk away. But, you know, it's just those kind of ideas of reflecting. Reflecting is a good thing. The difference of it is when we think about dwelling. So when you start dwelling in the past, you start dwelling on the old you, you start dwelling on what you did before, that's when you start to make it a part of you and you really start to make it a not so great part of you, because now you're living there. The world has moved on, everything's moving forward, but you are living there. This doesn't mean that if you're grieving someone or something that you shouldn't be there for a moment. You have to really give honor to that feeling, because if you don't, it will show up elsewhere. So That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about that dwelling of where we refuse to move forward because we're still in that place. We still think we are that person we were before. We still think we are in that situation. We still go back to what we did. And dwelling there is just really usually not good. Dwelling in the present is a whole other thing. But dwelling in the future also isn't good. You know, let's worry about what's going to happen next week or next month or next year. We can be prepared and we can be intentional, but dwelling there is not good either. The only place it's safe and good to dwell is in the present, you know, dwelling in your day, understanding that you're here now for a reason, giving life to that, bringing fruit to that. So that's really important. So I define dwelling as living in the moment. And if it's in the past, if you're holding on to something from the past, you are holding on to the guilt and shame of the past, especially when it comes to an error that you made. So if you're dwelling in that error, you're kind of denying that you're forgiven. You're denying that you can move forward, that you're not perfect, that you're going to do things that aren't so great. You're dwelling on that. And I think that's the difference. You know, when we reflect on the past, you know, we get lessons. When we dwell, we get guilt and shame. So we want to make sure that we're always kind of thinking about that in a different way. And in that way, in that sense, if you're not dwelling on the error can be very exemplary. It can be exemplary if you're dwelling in it, but you don't want to live there too long. So exemplary means serving as a desirable model, representing the best of its kind. So we talk about someone being an exemplary leader, you know, somebody who's leading a team, leading a charge, leading a movement. And we say they're exemplary. They're everything you should want to be in a leader of that sort. But then it's also defined as when in the thoughts of a punishment, serving as a warning or a deterrent. So something that's exemplary is making an example of someone. So we've all heard that phrase, you know, if somebody does something, not so great. And we define the punishment of that as, oh, wow, they're making an example of them. Like this is something that other people may have gotten away with, but they're making an example of them so that other people don't do this again. And when we say that, we're usually saying it negatively, like, you know, they probably got the short end of the stick. They're the example, but maybe they needed to have that punishment, that kind of talk. But I think it can actually be a good thing. Because it gives you a warning or other people a warning about what you did and what's happened. I was reading about the very, very tragic accident involving the NFL player Henry Ruggs recently. And I've been really struck by that story because when you look back on the whole thing, it's very tragic, of course. This young lady was doing whatever she was doing with her dog, had no tie to him, definitely did not deserve what happened. But then when you think about him, you think about where he's come from and having had a friend that died in an accident. And I was thinking about how he was feeling in this too, because I'm like, it's typical of our world. Something's just so dark, it's hard for us to really wrap our minds around. And he was doing something, you know, allegedly irresponsible. He was not, you know, taking precautions that he should have been taking allegedly, you know. And so there's those things that we have to think about as well. But when I think about that, I think about the lesson in that. It is a very heavy one. It is a very difficult one. It's hard for us to really fathom. But how many of us have learned from that? You know, I feel like I learned from that. And I'm old enough really to be his mother at this point. But I learned from that because it's like, wow, like, that, you know, moment of just doing what you want to do can result in something really, really tragic. So remembering that and remembering that we have to be mindful of those things, you know, and by all accounts, he was this great guy, you know, his friends say that he's a great guy, that he in general was the responsible one and so forth. So it was interesting to read about that because I know everybody's angry, everybody's upset about what he did. But I think we have to think about all of the whole situation, the big mess that it is, because there's just so many different things involved, but it's something that we all can learn from. You know, we all can learn from that situation. So I think that it's important to talk about errors can keep you out of trouble while also showing you the right path. So we talk about being on the right path and going the right way, or the two roads and the road less traveled and so forth. And I think that when we go down a path that's not so great for us and we're able to go back, because sometimes we make errors that we can't go back from. But when we're able to go back, it's a blessing in and of itself, because you're like, man, I almost went down that road, but then I got on the right path, you know. So that error, you learned like, oh, that wasn't the way to go, but I'm going to go this other way. And you're going to have, you know, detours on that road too. But it's just understanding that error and the lesson that it was, and being able to talk about it, being able to tell someone else, you know, man, this is what I did. You should never do this. You should never be in this situation. It really means something, right? It really means something to that person to see you having done that or having tried that. And it's like, wow. Now, if they're the person that has to do it themselves, then they may need to do it to learn the lesson. But the thing is, it's not for you to figure out how it will hit them. Your job is to share that and to you know, help them understand. And this may be on a small scale with your child and something you did that you don't want out public. This might be a story you share on a big stage and say, hey, I did this thing and this is what happened and this is what the consequences were. And I don't want the same thing to happen to you. So you can play it either way and go to a small audience or a large audience, but your errors are truly exemplary. So why not share them? You know, it really can help other people, and it helps you. I know for me, telling my story really helps me, the different ways that things didn't turn out the way that I wanted or the errors that I made in that, because there's always something we could have done different, right? Even if it's the worst situation in the world, there's always something that we might have done differently. Sometimes there's not, but usually there's something that you can go back and say, you know, I could have not done that way, or I could have said that differently. So there's always multiple lessons throughout these things. So why not share them? You know, we're kind of taught that errors are bad, mistakes are bad. Something we do to kids that somebody pointed out to me, and I'll never forget it, is we make normal things seem bad. So like bowel movements, we make that seem bad. We tell kids how smelly it is and, oh, you made a boo-boo kind of thing. And I think that even though it sounds silly, it's like you a lot of kids have issues with bowel movements as they get older. And so while that may have a nutrition factor, it's also a thought of like, oh my gosh, you know, we made them believe this is bad. And so the things we hear, the things that we internalize are so important. So even when we're not intending that and we're just teasing them and playing with them, kids are very concrete. So if they internalize that and they think it's bad, they just kind of grow up having this issue. And so there's some things to think about there. You know, what we tell them, how we present things to them is very, very, very important. And sharing our own errors is also important, so they can kind of understand when they're able to some of the things that we've done, or at that certain age, why it's important to do things a certain way. And so I'm a firm believer that seeing how others cope with adversity is an important thing to learn about them. And when I say, you know, when I was doing my notes for this, I wrote down the word cope, and I was like, cope can be tricky because, you know, we expect people to cope with things by not dealing with them. And by coping, I mean actually working through the problem. So if somebody has an adverse, you know, reaction to something happens, some adversity in life, watching them go through that can tell you a lot about them. Now, we all have those moments where something bad happens and we just fall apart. We have, you know, something that's devastating to us. We've suffered a loss. We're grieving and we just aren't ourselves. And that's normal. You have to go through that. It's not to say that, you know, you won't go through that part of it, but how you deal with that going forward is really important. You know, how you handle that, it can tell us a lot about how that person is doing. You know, we always ask, how are you doing? How are things going? Watch them, be around them, understand that they may not be telling you how much they're suffering. They may be having a really hard time with something, but not expressing that. And so, you know, you want to really see that so that you can understand how you can help them and how you can help them kind of right or wrong or whatever it is, improve the situation or improve how they feel about it, or just help them go through it. But, you know, also if someone, you know, if you're in a relationship with someone or you have a friendship with them or they're a family member or whoever, and you see how they deal with adverse situations. So particularly with parents, you know, as a parent, the way that I deal with something that's not so great is a great example for my son. You know, it may not be a great example, but it's an example. So if I deal with something really in a very immature way, or I'm unfair to someone, or I'm not extending grace in certain situations, he sees me doing that. He takes that in. Now, he may choose not to do that in his future, but it's kind of a 50-50 chance, right? If he sees me reacting in a certain way, he may internalize that and react that way when he has that situation. So it's super important that we're mindful of that, not so much to hide what we're going through, but just to understand that we have to be intentional with what we're showing to the world when it comes to that. Meaning, you know, not necessarily saying, okay, I'm just going to not show it. I'm going to seem happy all the time. No, expressing it is just as important, but how we express it and how we process it is important as well. So I think that that can tell us a lot about people, how they deal with adversity when things aren't going well. You hear people say when they're interacting with someone that they don't necessarily need in the moment, how does that look, and what kind of person are they, you know, in your mind from that? So that can be really important. So to summarize, sorry, I'm, you know, dealing with this. The weather in Ohio is insane right now. It goes from 50 to 20, back to 60, and then back to 20. And so my allergies don't particularly enjoy this time of year. But errors are, one, a lesson. So when you have an error, it's a lesson for you. It's a lesson for other people. It's a lesson for those you share it with. So always keep that in mind. Errors are a character builder. So when we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, you know, the fruits of the Spirit, I should say, in Galatians, these all come out of adversity, if you think about it. So Galatians 5, verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So when I think about that, when we have to express love, it's not always in the sense of someone we truly love and we want to be around and so forth. Sometimes you have to express love to someone you don't care for. Joy. Being content in all things, being happy no matter what's going on, or not happy, being content no matter what's going on, because happiness is kind of a construct and a short-term thing. But being content, being grateful to God in all situations. Peace, deciding to choose peace. I can't tell you how many times I've had to choose peace. Peace is like my bestie. At all times protect my peace. I want to be peaceful. I want to be peaceful to others. I just enjoy peace. Sometimes you have to disrupt the peace a little bit, but in general, that peace comes. Peace that passes all understanding comes in those times when everything is crazy. You don't know what's going to happen next. That's when we sense the strongest, and we have the strongest sense of peace. Patience. If things are going your way, you don't need any patience. You need patience when you're in periods of adversity. Kindness. Kindness is not something that is niceness. I always talk about this because our society has taught us that being nice is necessary all the time. And as a physician, you know, nice and kind are two different things. You know, being nice is, we've equated with kindness, but kindness is what you need. I've met people who are absolutely like just kind of curmudgeons. You know, they're always kind of angry, not happy with stuff. They're grumpy, but they are the kindest people you've ever met. They give you the shirt off their back. They, you know, give you money for whatever you need. I mean, they're just that person. They're kind, you know, and that's what we should be aspiring to, being kind, because kindness also has, you know, is where we have to express that a lot of times in times of adversity, you know, choosing to be kind to someone when you're being inconvenienced is a big thing. Goodness. Just being good to people, you know, yes, you can express this all the time, but, you know, choosing goodness, choosing to be good when things are bad, that is also a fruit of the Spirit. Faithfulness, being loyal, being persistent, being having integrity, you know, being someone people can rely on, not to a point of being a doormat, but just being that person that is faithful, that's faithful to God, that's faithful to others. You know, that is a fruit that comes out of adversity, out of, you know, having to endure, you know, the activities and the things of people being people. Faithfulness can grow from that. Gentleness, similar kind of thing, you know, being gentle with others, allowing people to make their mistakes and being okay with letting them grieve and go through loss and things like that, but being gentle with them, letting them land gently, helping them through that, and self-control. You know, this is a big one. You know, we talk about this one. Now, if you talk about adversity, a lot of people talk about that self-control piece of if you're mad, what do? And how do you handle that? You know, but it goes so much deeper than that. Just always trying to have that control of yourself such that you're not lashing out and you're not doing things impulsively. And, you know, you're just living intentionally, having that control of yourself, connecting to God in a way that, you know, it helps you to keep that. Because I have to say in my life, in there's times when the self-control, I have no explanation for it, but it came from God. It was just that feeling of this is how I should be acting. Even though I want to do this other thing, I'm going to, you know, show self-control. So all of these have to do with periods of adversity. All of these have things that they're grown in adversity. And so, you know, errors are a character builder for sure. And errors are, as we've talked a lot about today, an important deterrent for the future, you know, for you and for others. You know, if you have made a mistake or had a misstep or went on the wrong path, and you can use that, reflect on that for yourself, or, you know, you see someone else heading down that path and you can reflect on that error for them. Think about how much better things will be. How many times have you heard stories of that exact thing happening where someone, you know, hears a story and they say, man, you know, I was going to do X, Y, and Z, but I heard about this story where this happened and I don't think I want that for myself. You know, it won't happen every time. You know, sometimes people just have to experience things for themselves, but you sharing that can absolutely change a life and is always exemplary. As always, take care of you.
This has been the Single Well Podcast. For more information on what you just heard, please visit us on Facebook or Instagram at The Single Well, or you can email us at thesinglewell@gmail.com.